Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm Kyle, and today I've got a special guest from Down Under, and this time it's not Anthony Fatsies or Phil Muscatello. Today we've got Graham Glover, CEO, co-founder, whatever you want to call it, of Price Squawk. Now, Price Squawk is a tool that Graham has developed to try to make sense of order flow by making it audible. Does that sound like about the gist of what you're trying to accomplish there?
Yeah, that sums it up very nicely in one sentence. Yeah,
you had a pretty good blurb on there about some of the things that you did to develop it, like kind of the path that you're on. I kind of want to start at that point, if that's okay with you. So, if you want to just kind of tell me, like, how did you get here? Like, what did your journey look like through the markets?
Well, that could be a long story, Kyle.
I know, but we got plenty of time, as you just told me.
I have in my notes here esoteric trading cults, but I think that could be a different topic. But I went down a various rabbit holes with my housemate at the time. Lots of predictive market analysis before placing trades.
What do you mean by predictive market analysis?
Well, pretty much you analyze charts, draw a bunch of lines, and then enter your orders, wake up the next morning, see how you went, and rinse and repeat. But there was not that there's anything wrong with lines on charts, but these particular lines, they got a bit esoteric. So you know you're on the wrong track when after a year or two you're not making any money.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was probably 2009, 2010.
Okay, like, so right about the coming right out of the big crash. I think this is about the time when I started getting more into investing too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of lived under a rock. I was an engineer in the mines at the time. And like any smart engineer, I thought I'd take all my money and have a crack at the market.
Right.
And I didn't have deep enough pockets to go all in on futures, but the education program that we paid large sums of money to, they were heavy into futures. And all I'll say is they had a W.D. Gann philosophy on markets. I don't know if you're familiar with Gann, but
a little bit, yeah.
there was some good stuff there. There was, I think, the fundamentals of swing trading that they built into their courses were very useful.
The cover auction market theory, at least, or any of that kind of stuff?
No, none of that. Ooh. And that's, I guess, where I'm going. So, yeah, I think the light bulbs switched on. Well, I had some good trades in that period as well. I think
swing
trading. I still recount my long in. I had a long in soybeans and CFDs. I didn't have deep enough pockets for a full contract.
And Jesus, you were all over the place.
My analysis of the last 10 years of history was, hey, now's the time that it's going to go. And by pure coincidence, it did.
Right.
And I got caught in a good way in limit up markets for days. And I remember telling my family and friends that, hey, this is the way. And then woke up one morning and it was limit down, and I learned that lesson where I watched those mega little profits erode.
So, they go quick on futures too, don't they?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this was amateur trading at the end of the day. The light bulb moment was, I think I had some orders in for some swings, and the strategies were you get to 50% risk reward and you move your stops. And I was there for some reason. I pulled up the depth of market on this platform, and I was about to click the mouse on an order. It probably had no effect on my order regardless, but there in the depth, I was about to enter a stop limit long or whatever they were back then.
Yeah.
And there was someone just pumping the offer. Like there was, I think the liquidity was about 1,000 traditionally on the bidder offers. This was in a stock at the time. And there was like 10,000 or 100,000.
Just a massive sell-off.
Massive. And I didn't click. I went, stuff this. Like what? Someone wants to sell when I'm confident. I know the market's going up. They obviously know something I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, rookie error. And obviously they pulled their offer and the market rocketed up and I would have had a good trade. But that actually led me down a path of what is this depth of market? Like what the hell am I looking at here? And
wow. So you just kind of stumbled into it too. That's going to be like finding like alien technology almost.
I mean, and I had my housemate at the time. We both felt like fools. We're like, geez, mm-hmm. what game have we been playing this whole time?
I remember the first time I saw a Dom when I was trading like Thinkorswim using like the manual tickets that you got to fill in. And I was like, oh, you could just click to enter? Oh, wow. This is way easier.
It's game changer.
Right.
And so we kind of overnight threw our strategies and all of that education out the door. Mm-hmm. If you can call it education. I think they got taken to court at some point because they were leading people astray. I won't mention any names, but...
Yeah, they don't deserve the publicity.
Yeah, so my housemate, who was also ended up being my first, as I mentioned, I had that trailblazing podcast back in 2013.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was my first guest after he'd spent a year on a trading desk at a real deal prop shop.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, so he went down to Sydney and learnt the art of actually trading. And I took, I think most people are probably familiar with the No BS Day Trading courses, John Grady. Mm-hmm. I took one of his webinars and felt, well, this is how you trade.
All right.
This is, bring up some ladders and read the actual prints. And so that was my... This is probably 2 years into the markets.
What did your flatmate do to get picked up by a prop firm or a prop desk? What did he do to get their interest?
Well, like this is before the combine days. So they had a program where, you know, you apply, they interview, mm-hmm. they filter out candidates mainly based on their life circumstance. They wanted people who could fully dedicate themselves to the program. And they had an online, pretty much an online course, free, but pretty much they were looking at who turned up, who was mm-hmm. there every day doing the exercises, engaging with the mentors. And then after that, they got invited down to the shop to actually talk to the head traders and interview for a position on the desk.
Man, I thought I did it right by having the podcast early to talk to smart traders, but I never even thought about trying to live with one.
we had many, the conversations we had just like that. I'll try hook you up if you want, but I don't know if he's still in the industry, but he spent 10 years with that and then a subsequent prop firm, which he ended up being the trading desk, trader, and shared a huge number of insights, but then nothing too crazy. Like this is how you trade. You do the drills, you develop your edge.
Right.
And we support the traders through that. But I think the main catalyst for him going was he got to, this was new to us. Someone will give you money to trade. You're risking someone else's capital.
Yeah, it takes a little pressure off, right?
Yeah, but they were...
Or you'd think it may actually introduce a different pressure, but yeah.
Depends on your living circumstances, I guess.
Right, but yeah.
I remember clearly, like, he nearly didn't get in because of his history. I mean, they want traders with a clean slate. So.
Yeah, because he had the dabbling beforehand that might have set him back a little bit.
The
bad habits you have to unlearn or they have to unteach you.
So, yeah, that's how he wound up down there. And I guess he helped in my education of trading and I kept it pretty simple, trading the ladders, reading the order flow. And the Eurobonds, I spent probably 6 months every day with the Bunds.
Yeah.
And because they're a good time zone here in Australia. I think it was 5 o'clock. I could sit down, trade for the open for a few hours.
Actually, that's like another great point. Being in Australia, what is the time zone difference?
Well, it's...
Like, what time is RTH open for you?
It opens at midnight currently.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is kind of rough, huh? So, yeah, oh, I can see why you would have probably, like, gravitated towards swing trading because, like you said, you put your orders on, then go to bed and wake up and see what happened.
Yeah. That was one of the main pros of it.
Yeah.
You could close your eyes, open them.
I can see the appeal of that, but on the other side of it too, like if something goes catastrophically wrong, you better hope you put everything in correctly. Otherwise you might wake up to a disaster.
Absolutely. I didn't have too many of those.
Right.
And swing trading, I guess, typically you'll have your stop losses in, which help you manage your risk. So yeah, the Bunds, that's where the enlightenment started with order flow trading. And I stuck with that probably, this is now 2012 and 2013. I had a mentor, I had a mentor in my friend, but I also had a mentor. He was pretty tied up with the prop shop and his own career. I had a Canadian prop trading mentor who I did pay him a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he lost on that trade because we met up daily for what was supposed to be 1 month. But I think, you know, we were catching up for 2-3 months and became good friends through it.
It's funny. You find a good mentor, they almost become invested in your success, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a special type of relationship there that you just... I don't know. When you find a good mentor, man, hang on to him. You don't want to let that guy go. I do want to ask, going back to the difference between EDU, the traditional ones that you guys were investigating, and the differences between that and the prop trading. There's like a list of drills on your website that you guys say is how the prop space works, like how they would typically train up a person. They're going to give you these drills and you're going to work on these drills daily until you master them or master some aspect. One of them on there was trading naked. Is that what I think it is?
Well, you can if you want. I'm sure someone's
I was
tried
actually
it.
Thinking, like, I wonder how much this would help to just take off all the clothes and sit in front of the desk. Like, would that make you feel better, well, more comfortable?
Edges come in all forms, don't they?
Right, right.
Yeah. If that sort of freedom.
How many cricket players like the pantyhose under their uniforms, you know?
Well, I haven't heard that, but yeah, we could.
Maybe that's baseball only.
Yeah.
But yeah, tell me about some of these other drills then, or what is that? What does that actually mean if it's not to just strip down and trade?
Okay. So those trading drills, I guess, were a bit of a memento of my experience learning the real ropes. There's all forms of trading, but from my perspective, the real ropes of trading, of actually having some skin in the game in the market and learning to read the DOM, read the order flow, and the trading naked drill in particular. I think one of the main purposes is to just get rid of all the stuff you've got on your screens and watch the auction play out and be involved in that auction process, working bids, working offers. So
trading naked means less about clothing and more about all the tools and widgets and things you have up on your charts. You're saying just strip all that out and trade with the clean chart.
Take it all off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that particular drill is you've just got one DOM. So you've picked a market, your screen is pretty much empty. It's naked.
Yeah.
So it's done well for Google search.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some confused people wind up on my website from that one over the years. but yeah, that's the idea. And I guess over the years, one of the main feedback I've given people who have contacted me around these exercises is stick with it at least for a few days, because most will bring it up, go, oh yeah, this is cool, put it away, go back to what they were doing. But I think you notice something after a few days, even a week or two of just you, one Dom, and the market. And that's, I guess, how you start picking up patterns and getting a feel for the order flow. So,
well, one of the other things I liked about the drills is they're not just about learning or like how to deal with. One of them is like flip-flopping. Yeah, it's called, I think it's called coin flip. Every 10 minutes you flip a coin, and then you have to, if it's heads, then you have to look for a long and you have 10 minutes to enter a position. So flip-flopping your bias like that, that's a great exercise for trying to keep you from clinging too hard onto like a long bias or a short bias. But there's other things in there that these are not just identifying, these are not just like strengthening key attributes that traders have, but there's also things like identifying your faults. Are you overtrading? When you're doing this coin flip exercise, are you immediately entering as soon as the timer goes off? Or are you patiently waiting and using your 10 minutes to find an entry? Like, there's a lot of things that you can pick up, I think, on your own trading by completing some of these exercises. And yeah, it's got to be for more than a day or two. Like, you really probably want 2 weeks worth of that for each one, would be my guess.
Well, I think somewhere in there, I suggest spend 1 or 2 weeks with each exercise, because these prop programs, I think they give you 1 to 2 months to find your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's traditionally all through the exercises. They just want to see that you're not losing your head, you're not trading on tilt. And through that period, they want traders to find their own edge. And that doesn't have to be anything magical. Discretion is an edge, being able to hold through some nasty stuff if you have to.
Right.
So that's the point of those exercises. And I also have a soft spot for the flip a coin one, because up to that point, when I did this particular drill, I still always thought analytically, and like I thought I knew where the market was going. So every trade was based on hey, I've figured this out.
Yeah.
I've read it. I'm going to be right. And
yeah, I've struggled with that myself.
Yeah. It's a common issue, but
especially with the engineering background too. Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon there's a lot of engineers who struggle with trading or find a way to make it work through analytical. I don't know.
Yeah.
But flipping a coin, I remember having like some reasonably profitable sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing the drills primarily on the sim.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to go through them again now with micros, because I think you could get a lot more out of them.
I mean, you could do like micros on ES. And like if you're trading one or twosies on those and using, you know, relatively tight stop losses, you probably couldn't do too much damage.
Although,
hold my beer.
Yeah. Yeah. It could do some people some favors. Those assets weren't here back in those days when these drills were happening. I guess you could also benefit from doing it with some of the BitMEX markets or the perpetuals. Because another big benefit of these is, I learnt more in a day when I started trading the DOM, using the DOM, than I would have in 6 months of doing analysis and swing trading. That feedback of the market dynamics, like clicking the mouse dozens of times a day and being fully immersed in the market, it definitely changes your perspective on how to trade, how the markets work.
Right.
And who the players are. So did the flipper coin. Yeah, go on.
Was there did you guys have, I remember talking to 2-year flipper, and he was saying when he was working for somebody up in Chicago, I don't remember, in the pits. He talked about one of the drills that they would give them was to scalp like one UB contract, but at the end of the day, you have to end up with a flat P&L. So you can't be up, you can't be down. You have to just take a bunch of trades and end up being zero for the day.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. I have heard of that one. I don't know if he's spoken before about it on your podcast.
He talked to us, this was probably early part of the year, I think. So maybe 6 months ago. I haven't played around with that one yet, but that's one that keeps coming back up in my mind. Like, I really probably need to do this one to get used to. I think that one's more about trying to break your obsession with the P&L number, right?
That would make sense.
Yeah. Like, this is about executing trades and a goal, and you hit your goal, and that's all you care about.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be revisiting these drills one day. Maybe we can I can get a guest post from the famous two-year flipper.
There you go. I heard a rumor that you've got some traders helping you with Price Squawk. Is that true? Helping you with designing the sounds and some of the implementations, the customizable features?
Well, yeah. I mean, I take feedback on from everyone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Price Squawk has been around for over a decade now.
Yeah.
So I've a lot of the features since the early days of it have been based off user feedback. Mm-hmm. But with the app, yeah, I have some very active traders who are giving me quick feedback. I did reach out to 2 year about these timers, which I was listening to this podcast when my ears perked up. I'm like, what can we do there?
Right.
So yeah, I'm having a look at maybe building some sort of timer detection.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Into the new app.
Well, let's talk about what the app is. Well, when you first started designing it 10 years ago, what were you trying to accomplish with it?
Well, first of all, I built it for myself.
Of course. All trading, good tools seem to be that way, right?
Yeah. I wanted to hear size trading in the bunds. I wanted to be able to follow the price action. And I guess I had and still have a terrible concentration span. So
yeah.
the sounds really helped me. I wanted to hear volume at price accumulating in the bobble. Mm-hmm. So I had my screen was pretty much the Eurobunds, the Eurobobble, the Euroshats, which I guess would be the equivalent of having the 10-year, the 5-year, and the 2-year up.
Is the shats the real term? Or was that a
nickname? Euroshats. Shats. The shats. I don't know. Ask your AI. Yeah, right. I could have been pronouncing it wrong for 10 years.
The shats. That sounds very, sounds like we're going to get demonetized.
Well, it would. The shats would provide leading info because it would go tick up or tick down often before a move in the bunds. So I wanted to hear the price action in that. So I guess the first evolution of Price Squawk was all these sound effects
mm-hmm.
that mapped to the information I needed. And I used pitch of sounds to track price action, the loudness of sounds to track the size trading.
The pitch is kind of creepy when that starts. I think Purdue was playing around with it when I told him I was going to be interviewing you. He was letting me listen in on some of them. And like when it gets real deep, when the volume is picking up, I don't know if he could figure out how to adjust too many of the settings yet right off the bat. But the ones that he was showing me is like, oh, that is creepy. That'll get you sitting up in your chair, though.
Well, yeah, it's not for everyone. A lot of folks, they can connect with the market more audibly.
Yeah.
And the pitch can be turned off. All of these can be turned off if you're finding it's distracting you from your trading goals. But I like...
Well, and there's lots of different customizable things. I mean, you can put whatever sounds you want in there. You can customize large orders, bid orders, the offers, pulling and stacking, I think, is in there too. There's a ton of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's... For a lucky few, and I've only got their feedback to go off because traders tend to hold their strategy close to their chest. But there's some who, I mean, they've leaned on Price Squawk pretty heavily for nearly 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And I know when a server's gone down then. Or it's made sleeping pretty difficult the last decade.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and on the pitch topic, I mean, it's a pretty good feeling when you do step away from the desk and, you know, you're in a short and that pitch is just dropped subsonic. Not that you should trade that way, but I used it pretty heavily for being able the flexibility around the trading desk as well. Like I could step away.
That honestly was one of the things that really caught my eye when I was looking through some of the benefits that people have experienced from it. That is one of the hardest things to do, to pull your eyes away from a chart when it's getting close to a level, or maybe it's in your level, or maybe it's just left a level and you're waiting to see what it does in the next one. Having something that can cue you in while you're not physically staring at the charts, more than just a price alert, like that to me sounds really appealing. Like I could actually probably then actually concentrate on the other tasks that I'm trying to do when I'm trading. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's why it was a hit, because, mm-hmm. well, it didn't go viral, but I think I was part of a trading group at the time called Scalpers Anonymous. And
and they're not doctors.
I think it was an offshoot of those No BS Day Trading webinars. But anyway, we started this group and we'd upload live trades. And so I shared this tool, which I created as a NinjaTrader add-on, just kind of overnight, and built on it as I wanted these different audio cues for my markets.
Right.
And yeah, people were straight away wanted to get access. So something clicked for a few people that the moment you start hearing this information, they find it useful. So,
well, let's put ourselves in the minds of like an old school pit trader. Like volume, I'm sure, was a key thing that they were paying attention to. If the pits are quiet, then there's nothing going on. Do you really want to be out there trading? And we don't really have anything visual to indicate us that the same importance that the audible cues will clue us into that.
No, I mean, the equivalent would be staring at a 1 minute volume bar. And like, you know, when you're looking at a screen, you can only stare at one bit of information.
Right.
So hearing volatility and volume flow into the market was a new concept. And a new digital concept. Until that point, everyone had, because this is 2013, the pits were closing up finally.
Right, right.
Screen trading was starting to take off. And I was actually fortunate enough to get a tour of the pits, actually. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah, there was definitely an atmosphere that I've read a few of those original Market Wizard interviews where they talk about it. And I guess they were using sound and
Do you ever watch that movie Trading Spaces, Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd?
I'm familiar with it, and I think I did watch it.
Yeah.
Years ago.
If you don't remember, go back and rewatch just the scene when they're in the pit at the very end when they're bankrupting the bankers with the orange juice report. That is like a great just analog or a great example of what the pit would be like in those moments. The news comes, it gets quiet, you can hear a pin drop after the news, and then just everyone screaming buy sell, going, you know, pandemonium. It's just such a great scene that they I think they knocked that one out of the park.
Yeah, that's fantastic. They captured that.
In fact, one of the trading courses I got, I went through, that was one of the examples they put in there when explaining what volume is and why you should pay attention to it.
Well, clearly, like I remember clearly some key events in the Bunds where you would hear the tape just go silent and you're just like, what's going on? Like something's going to happen. I don't have any economic releases happening and I'm getting out of any positions I've got.
Oh, right.
And so, yeah, I guess that's quite similar to, like, you've got that audible feedback.
So it's kind of interesting the ways that you're kind of sharing on how you use it, because it's completely different than I think most people are probably thinking about how they would use it. Maybe not necessarily for giving you ideas for trades to take in the moment, but maybe more so just giving you the confidence to sit in some of your trades. Or maybe giving you the confidence to know that, hey, people are engaging in this spot that I've marked on my chart. Maybe this idea has some more strength or some other patterns like you noticed where action in one market tends to precede or happen afterward another market. And there's patterns like that that you can pick on probably a lot easier when you have audible cues as opposed to just trying to... Our vision gets overloaded by all the stuff on the charts. Like you mentioned with the trading naked, like that's a perfect example. There's just too much stuff to try to pay attention to, and you're just never going to make those correlations unless you can strip some of that out.
I completely agree. I mean, sound for me was the missing piece to trading. And I mean, I guess it can change you from observing and analyzing the markets to being immersed. And
that's a great point.
And feeling the markets. I mean, that philosophy is one of the new widgets in the app is called the Virtual Trading Pit. And all that does is it has an ambient trading pit sound effect.
That I was going to ask you if you had that, because that's the thing I want. I want the ambient noise, and I want it to pick up as volume starts increasing. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, well, we've got that. The pit will get louder.
And that's so cool.
Things are happening. And I mean, you can change it to any sound effect you want. I'm personally a fan of the heartbeat sound effect, but that could be a bit intense.
Oh, that's pretty interesting idea. Da-ding,
da-ding, da-ding.
Right. Get that King Kong moment.
Yeah. Of course, you don't want to psych yourself out. So maybe the more ambient, the better.
Well, it's probably something you don't want to be trading with the first day you throw it on there, I'm guessing. You probably want to spend some time getting to use it and feeling it and, getting a feel for it.
Ease into it. I generally recommend traders just put it on in the background.
Yeah.
Point them to the prop shop trading drills for some exercises if they're completely new to the order flow or the DOM. Mm-hmm. And have the sounds in the background. And you get a feel for it. And over time, as I said, there's some of these guys using it based on their feedback. Like they are trading off patterns. They observe audibly.
Right.
And I don't think there's many of them. I think most are just using it, as you said, for confirmation and to help them stay in a trade or get out of the market.
Or to key them in to go start looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the other category would be a cue to zone in to what's on your trading screens and, start executing. And it's a pretty comprehensive tool that can appeal to all sorts of traders. Not any one trader necessarily uses it the same way.
Yeah. Well, talking about order flow and using order flow, I want to kind of ask your thoughts on the dark side of trading on the DOM, which is something that I've encountered personally and had to get away from it for a little bit. It's the longer you stare at it, the easier it is to find a trade. To where I found the most effective use of the DOM and trading on the DOM is to not look at it at all until price gets to a point where I care about. But that's not very easy to do. As I mentioned, like when you're watching price, it came into an area I'm interested in. Now, when do I stop looking? How far away does it need to move before I can be not interested anymore? I don't know. I get sucked into it and then suddenly I'm starting to take trades off of, because you can justify anything on a DOM if you stare at it long enough.
Yeah. The prints are moving up the DOM.
Right.
Price is going up. I should be long.
So how do you keep that emotional build that comes from staring at it for too long? You know what I mean? Like it's just I have to do something. I have to do something. The longer you stare at it.
Well, I guess it comes down to the individual strategy. So if you're playing levels, breakouts, mm-hmm. I guess you're going to have some hard rules of when you're paying attention to the market.
Yeah.
And you could keep the DOM up ready to step in. I wouldn't. I can see what you mean. And, I always project this into what I'm hearing. Like I can hear the trades ticking up in my right ear as pitch is going up.
Right, right.
On the mouse going, right, I need to get in on a pullback here. But that would be because I'm that would be a short-term trading strategy, scalping.
Yes,
if you're only scalping around levels, I think the suggestion would be use a cue or something for when you pay attention to the DOM.
Yeah. And then watch it when it's in those levels. Maybe look for repeatable patterns that show up there.
Yeah. Otherwise you're just scalping the order flow, which is fine. But right. If that's not what you intended to be trading.
I'm not good at it. I've already learned I'm not good at that.
Have you been through all of the 7 drills on my website, Kyle?
I have not. I have not. But I plan on picking those up as soon as we hang up here, I think.
Well, look, they can change your perspective of trading. And yeah. I'm not saying you're going to come out of that and be able to go trade 10 lots in the E-minis. But they will get you out of some bad habits and hopefully give you a new strategy that you can like trade the order flow. But yeah, like I don't suggest staring at the DOM all day for everyone. As I said, I have a short attention span, so a few hours of the open and that's about all I could handle. And in full disclaimer, I've been developing the app for a year or two, so
yeah,
I feel a bit of imposter syndrome because I haven't clicked the mouse for that period.
Oh, yeah, I understand that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could use some cues to your levels and some ambient sounds.
We mentioned earlier when we were talking about the drills, some rookie mistakes that I think were mentioned in a few of them to pay attention for. What are some of those that people should watch out for, especially if they are going to partake in some of those drills?
Well, I have some examples in the drills where you bring up a 1-minute chart and just with volume bars. So it's a pretty basic chart that has your entries and look for patterns in your trading. And it's most traders will know it's very obvious in hindsight where you've gone on tilt chasing a market
and
getting in early before volume is picked up. And that post-market analysis, I think, is very important. And I remember my mentor would just be looking at my chart going, what the hell happened here? And, you know, there was a bit of shame in my response. I'd be, okay, in hindsight, those were boredom trades. And I was staring at the DOM, and this is probably that dark side of the DOM that you're talking about.
You know what the difference is, though? You had somebody you were accountable to that you had to go back and explain it. When I sit down and review my trades, I only have to justify it to myself. So there's a little bit of a you get what you put into it kind of scenario here where sounds like what really helped you was having somebody to be accountable to, somebody that was going to ask you those tough questions that you couldn't hide away from. You couldn't say, oh, well, you know, whatever, that was a one-off mistake. Well, no, it's not a one-off because I can see 5 weeks that you've done it 15 times. Obviously, there's a problem here.
That mentor relationship definitely helped, and the accountability is important.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you can't find an individual mentor, because they are hard to find, I got pretty lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the group therapy trading groups. They can help. I know Jigsaw do group therapy. I see emails from them. I think you guys have a Discord where maybe you should have a confession Friday.
We do have a good, bad, and ugly that we do where we talk about one good thing, one bad thing, one ugly thing from the past week.
Yeah, well, that's good, and that will help. And
yeah,
I guess.
Well, the hardest thing for a trader to do is to sit down and look at something that they did and admit to themselves that they did it and it was wrong and it was stupid. It's a lot easier to just sweep that under the rug and then tomorrow's another day. I got a new page that I can, you know, start writing in. I don't have to worry about what happened yesterday. But if we don't ever learn from it, how are we ever going to improve and get better?
You'd think that losing money would be all that's needed for the punishment, but right? It isn't. Yeah.
No. No, it's not.
Maybe you need a cane during your post-market review. Yeah,
the carrot stick.
The carrot stick.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that needs to happen after each trading session, and it doesn't need to be long. Like I think I could spend 5 minutes looking at the chart and going, all right, yeah, I traded pretty good today, or I definitely need to be more patient. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you ever fully master it either. Like, you'll go back and relearn those mistakes.
Right.
And that's part of the post-market review, is just keeping yourself accountable. And
I think of it like driving. Like, think about how any close calls you've ever had in the car. How safe did you drive after that?
Yeah. I haven't done a post-driving review, but that's a good point.
But think about any near miss you had and how laser-focused you become right after that moment. And then how long does it take before that starts to slip? It doesn't take very long.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I feel like we're constantly being reminded in the markets of like, oh, yeah, that's right. I got to be careful, because if I lean into this type of day, then I'm going to blow this account.
Yeah, I guess trading through some news is a pretty good lesson for for many. And that's an easy one to fix. It's like set an alert for the time of news. I mean, I used to listen to one of the commentating squawk boxes, Rand Squawk, but eventually I just built an alert for, I could program in the times for the economic releases, and I'd get an alert that says 1 minute to news, and I'd be like, I'm out.
Price Squawk do that now?
It does. The desktop version does that. I'm going to build it into the app very shortly. So,
all right. What else is Price Squawk got? Are there any features that we missed? Is there anything else that you want to say about it before we close this thing up?
Well, I mean, it's early days with the app. So the desktop version is a plugin for numerous platforms, and it's a beast. It can do just about anything audibly. You can set alerts for volume at price, volume profile levels, volume in time, pace of tape, etc., etc. But the app is a more streamlined version of it that's evolving based on the feedback from users. Right now we have some widgets. So you open up the app, you can bring up the trade sounds widget, the price squawk widget.
You also have that heat map too that looked really neat, that kind of just, it was like a visual representation of all the sounds that were going off.
Yeah.
I really liked the way that looked.
That's part of the tape pressure widget. Mm. So it's using cumulative volume delta to come up with statistical imbalances in the CVD. And yeah, that chart gives you, it kind of complements the sounds. So you can quickly gain some trust in the signals that it's getting.
One of the downfalls of relying on hearing is there's no reference to go back to see when did that happen. So having the visual to go with it, I think that the combination of the two just makes learning that much easier, I think.
That's why we added in the chart. I mean, it's still experimental. I don't want it to become a charting platform. There's plenty of good tools out there.
Right. But
that's something that we never did with the desktop app, was provide the visual history. So we have the speech synthesis, price squawk.
That's a twister.
Yeah. So there's some traders who just listen to the prices. There used to be, and I got to meet this guy when I did my tour of the pit. I think it was Traders Audio, and he announced the E-mini pit and the prices.
Is that the guy who said it's really weird hearing his own voice on the price squawk? I think he said he started a meeting and something happened and he heard his own voice commentary overlaying on it. Or am I confusing with somebody else?
It could be. I haven't heard that one.
Something famous, about a voice actor running into that. That's kind of funny.
I think he's famous for the commentating the market crash.
Oh.
There's a few videos on YouTube where he's just losing his mind about the bids pulling out of it. I'll send you a link. I think we've got some old pit traders who, I think mainly for nostalgia, just listen in to the price commentary of the inside market, you know, like 50s bid, 75s bid.
Probably helps them sleep at night.
Yeah. I have heard of at least one trader who had Price Squawk on during his sleep, and I thought he needed some help, because
I could see how some rhythmic sounds like that might help.
Well, I guess traders, we get obsessed with the market. And yeah.
It's just comforting to know it still exists, I guess.
It's out there.
Right.
You're immersed, once you've got the sound, you're immersed in that auction. So it's like you're constantly involved or in tune with it. I don't know.
I don't know if I'll be sleeping with it, though. I think I like my time away from the markets.
Oh, I would not recommend it. If anything, I'd do you could use the virtual pit widget and set it to some nice ambient soothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Soothing tone that gets louder, and maybe that's your alarm clock. Hey,
that sounds brilliant.
Might be onto something there.
Right, I'll never sleep past the open again. I saw you had a YouTube channel. Are you guys keeping that up to date?
I am posting more content as of late, and mm-hmm. I've got to get better at that because. With the new app, I'm mainly doing quick start tutorials and so forth. But it's definitely a resource for people who want to...
They want to see how it works.
See how it works and get a feel for what the sounds are like. If they want to try it out, I mean, you can use it. You can sign in for free and use it with Binance Markets and listen to your heart's content to trade sounds and the price squawk. So... that's a way that people can experiment without installing anything on their PCs.
You said it works with NinjaTrader. Does it work for Sierra Charts?
Yeah, I guess I don't want to make too strong a point about the add-on versions because I'm deep into the app development.
Right.
But the main platforms that you can install it as an add-on is Sierra Chart, NinjaTrader. It comes in built to one of the Jigsaw trading tools, the Recon Tape.
Wow. Okay.
So we have a lot of users who use the Recon Tape in Jigsaw, and there's a little musical button you can press that brings up trade sounds. And I think I've regretted enabling this, but you can use really basic sound effects for free in that platform with the Recon Tape. So pitch will go up and there's those musical instrument sounds, and a lot of people like that. But I do cringe when I look at how many people are sitting on that free version.
Well, if they want to get the full version, that's at pricesquawk.com.
That's correct.
And then the app, if they wanted to check that out, I think you told me was app.pricesquawk.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's a big button when you go to app.pricesquawk.com for starting a trial, and all that requires is you create a username and password, and straight away you're in on the dashboard and you can play around with trade sounds with Bitcoin and so forth before. Like, you have to subscribe, obviously, to get real-time data because...
Well, it's not a data feed.
Yeah, we have to procure a data feed in the background that's built into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's all there, and I'm very available, and I might regret this. I haven't been on many podcasts, but to help show people the ropes. But we've also got a Discord, which I was late to the Discord party and started that up with the app, where I think that's how we got introduced as well. Like
through our
Discord users.
Actually, if you have a link to that, send that to me. I'll throw that in the show notes too.
I appreciate it.
And then if you have any... I don't know if you want to give us like a discount code or something. I list all those on our site. I'd be happy to add Price Squawk to there. From what I've seen, I like the product that you guys have put together. Happy to recommend it to other people.
I appreciate that, Kyle. I'll send through and I hope you and whoever gets a chance.
But I think we've probably taken up enough of your time here. As always, I got to say thank you to our guest, Graham, here for getting up early to chat with us today. I know it's not easy linking up when we've got how many oceans between us now? Two now?
Well,
depending on which direction you go.
Depending. You got the Pacific.
Right? Pacific, the Indian, the Atlantic.
Yeah, it depends which way around the world you go.
Right. I highly recommend essaying checking out pricesquawk.com, even if it's just check out those trading drills that Graham's accidentally left on there free to view. You can stay up to date with the podcast by visiting bandittraderspodcast.com, where you can find all the deals and discounts we've collected over the years. And I'll be sure to put a Price Squawk one in there once Graham sends that to me. I will be back soon with another exciting episode for you to like, share, and subscribe. But until then, remember that real traders trade naked and have a green week.
Well, thank you, Kyle. It was a pleasure.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.